KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
There's a famous quote attributed to Mark Twain, "Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it." But what if you wake up one morning and find that you have the power to actually do something about it? That's the premise of Kai Emmons' new novel, Weather Woman, published by Red Hen Press. Kai's a fiction writer, playwright, and screenwriter whose previous novels include The Stylist and His Mother's Son, which won an Oregon Book Award for fiction. Her work has appeared in Tri-Quarterly, Narrative, the Arts and Letters Journal of Contemporary Culture, the Santa Monica Review, Pennsylvania Gazette, New York Post, and Portland Monthly, and she currently teaches in the University of Oregon's Creative Writing Program. We're fortunate to have Kai live in the KBOO studios with us now to talk about Weather Woman. Kai Emmons, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Well, Kai, I read that the idea for Weather Woman came to you years ago. You were growing up in New England, and the weather there can change suddenly. You imagine you could just look up at the sky and change it. Probably not an uncommon fantasy for kids, huh?
Yes, I think a lot of people, actually, I've discovered since talking about this, do have that fantasy. And I think it was particularly intense in New England because the weather was so changeable, and often not the weather I wanted at that particular moment.
No.
What comes to mind is, you know, Halloweens that were too cold and I had to wear a coat over my costume. Or another example is that I got married in the rain in late May.
I read about that.
And really did not want it to be raining.
And without giving away too much, is actually a scene in the book where the title character kind of changes that.
Yes.
Probably something you wish you had the power to do at that time.
Yes, exactly. So there have been a number of instances. Those stand out, but many instances where I really did want the weather to be different.
Now, you wrote two novels, as we mentioned, previous mm-hmm. to Weather Woman. At what point did that childhood fantasy about affecting the weather turn into the new novel?
Well, that's hard to say. You know, I mean, there's always a kind of a mysterious process that whereby an idea kind of descends and develops the intensity that forces you to want to actually write it. But I'm sure that the dire weather that we've been having as a result of climate change certainly factored into it.
And most recently, of course, Hurricane Michael.
Hurricane
in Florida
Michael
is awful.
And, you know, the fires that we've had
all summer.
And, you know, for successive years. I mean, all the hurricanes that we had last year, Irma and Maria. And so, you know, I think, I mean, of course, I had written the novel before those events, but there was a sort of a slow build to the intensity that we have now. And I thought the time is right.
Oh, yes. Well, I've seen some reviews describe Weather Woman as a form of magical realism, given the somewhat magical mm-hmm. power given to the title character. Her name's Bronwyn Arter. I also see a connection, though, maybe I'm alone here, to comic book superheroes, especially the Marvel ones. They usually start out as very ordinary men and women, Spider-Man's an example, with
yes.
ordinary problems, who suddenly are blessed and cursed with these great powers, and the question's always how to use them, for the common good or selfishly. Was that any kind of conscious influence?
That's a really good dichotomy to bring up, because I do, when I'm describing the novel, I do think of it as a realistic novel, but for that one small element. And the place I think it diverges from being a comic, like the comic book heroes, is that it doesn't culminate in a clash between good and evil.
Right. And by no means did I mean to denigrate the book by comparing.
No.
Comic books are very high in my pantheon of
yes.
literature.
And I actually was really thinking a lot about that. I thought, you know, is she going to come? Well, she does in some ways come across a certain amount of evil, but it's really her mentor who's encountering that evil. But mostly it's her kind of trying to decide what to do with this kind of responsibility that has been laid on her as a result of having this power. And it isn't, as you say, a comfortable thing necessarily. It has its pros and cons. You know, she can help out her friends, and perhaps she can help out the world, but, you know, at some cost always. Of course, there's always a cost.
Right? And there are some setbacks in there
yes.
as she tries to let other people know about her power or use it for the common good rather than selfishly, like stopping the rain at a friend's wedding.
That's right. I mean, one of the things that interested me as I was writing it was this question of how credible she is to the people that she shares her, you know, the fact that she can do this with. And, you know, some people will never believe her, and other people believe her at the drop of a hat, and then they're you know, people along the spectrum in between. But it's definitely, you know, when you think about all of us as believers, we're all somewhere on the spectrum.
Right? Yes. Now let's talk about the big issue at the heart of the book, and that's climate change
and its
devastating effects. We went into that a little. You said this is the preeminent problem facing the world today, and certainly no argument from me there. But the book got its start with the character and the premise, not with any desire to write about climate change.
Well, I knew that climate change would figure into this, but it was, as you say, a character premise that came to me first, a what if. What if someone really had this capability? And I will confess that originally when I started writing it, I was writing it about a man, a weatherman.
Oh, interesting.
And at some point, somebody suggested to me that I should change it to a woman. And when that, it was immediately,
I have to ask why. Why did that click, that change in gender?
Because I realized there is something about the way we regard weather people, which is we sort of denigrate what they do or trivialize them. There are so many movies
they're kind of the funny sidekick on every local news report, right?
Yeah, and I thought it would really kind of magnify the situation if this were a woman and she had this power. I just wanted the discrepancy. She's kind of a timid woman. She's smart, but she's, you know, hasn't been able to thrive in a PhD program at MIT. She just felt mocked and ridiculed. And so she's a woman that can be pushed around, I guess. And then it turns out that she has this incredible power. I just thought it would be more interesting. And then, of course, I'm always interested in writing about women. I don't even know what that other novel would have been. I have no idea. I don't think it would have been very good.
And Weather Woman's a much better title than Weather Man.
It is, yes, exactly.
Now, the book shows what must have been extensive research on climate change. How'd you go about that? I read a little bit about it. You started off by viewing this 24 DVD series on the Wonders of the Weather, was that
it? Yes, it was called The Wonders of the Weather, and it was supposed to be an introduction to meteorology. I mean, it was an introduction to meteorology done by this UCLA professor, Robert Fovell, but it was actually, given my rather limited scientific background, a lot of it was pretty challenging. But it did give me a real grounding in what was important in meteorology and sort of how to understand some of the basic concepts.
But that didn't go too much into climate change itself?
No, it wasn't dealing with climate change.
So you mentioned a glaciologist who was actually written about in a Rolling Stone article. We interviewed the writer a few weeks ago, Jeff Goodell.
The writer of the
Rolling Stone article,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
But you said you actually went out on an expedition with him?
Yes. I had a very unusual experience in that he's the first person I ever got to know through Twitter, you know. And I saw that he was doing this research on dark snow in Greenland, the Dark Snow Project, and, the way dark snow absorbs the heat from the sun rather than reflecting it back, as white snow will. And so I became interested in that, and then we communicated over Twitter, and, I told him what I was doing. And he said, well, you should come on this trip to Greenland with me, where I'm going to be the resident scientist on this tour.
Wow, what a generous offer.
Well, yeah. I mean, he wasn't paying for the trip.
Okay. Semi-generous.
But it was very generous, mm-hmm. in the sense that, it was he kind of agreed to be a little bit of a mentor to me. And we've since become friends and, have stayed in close touch, even though he lives in Denmark. But his family lives here in Oregon. Some of his family does, at least.
And that gave you some of the background for, I should mention, the end of the book. They're in Siberia.
Yes.
And talking about the methane fields there, and the permafrost is starting to melt.
And I have to say, every time there's so much out about climate change now, and, the recent report by the IPCC, and every time people mention the methane in the Arctic, I feel, I don't know what the word is, vindicated? I mean, I feel like, yes.
Now, the book, we should mention, too, because you mentioned this before we got on, but I read about it, you're planning a sequel. So this isn't the end of Bronwyn Art Fair.
Yes.
And the sequel, the working title is Sinking Islands?
Sinking Islands.
Okay, so this book, it has, I can't say it's necessarily a positive ending. but it's a beautiful last sentence. So I was wondering about your particular views on, I've talked to, we did an interview between the covers with a writer, William Volman, and he just came out with a two-volume book, Carbon Ideologies, on fossil fuels. And he is extremely negative about our hopes. And we did one interview on the show last year about a guy who thought we would be the Earth would be uninhabitable by the year 2025. He just thinks it's going to be logarithmic in the acceleration of climate change and its effects. I was wondering how you felt and how that influenced the book.
Well, I'm certainly not enough of a scientist to give a date, and was very impressed when the IPCC report said by 2040 things were going to be pretty disastrous, because that's a lot earlier than many people have said. But I share their view that things are really disastrous. There are unpredictable feedback loops that are creating, accelerating things, certainly in terms of the melting of the ice caps, but other things too. And I think there are unanticipated things that are happening.
What are those? Are those the intensified natural disasters like the hurricanes, tsunamis, typhoons?
And then the way that, climate change affects crops, and then the way when they're...
Hunger and water, food
hunger,
and water.
And then there's migration, right. And then there are, people get all up in arms about immigration. And and then people get... When there is scarcity, then people get warlike, or they get, they want to protect their own,
right.
And they're not generous. And so I think there are all these kinds of things that are not being, fully investigated or understood as we look at the whole picture. I mean, so yes, I think it's very bad. And I don't think when I began writing this book, I saw it as bleak as it is. Even, if you look at the sort of backup measures that are possible, the carbon capture and sequestration, those kinds of things, I mean, they're just not feasible to do at the levels that we need to do it. I mean, they're much too expensive, and we just don't have that developed technology yet.
I have a fairly long question here. We just have a few minutes.
I
should ask it, but maybe I'll try to condense it a little. I interviewed a writer, Todd Davies, last week, and her new book, fourth volume in the series of fantasy books called The History of Arcadia. And she makes a strong point that fairy tales and fantasy novels can be visionary literature, that they're not an escape from reality as some people would view them. I definitely see that in your book. I wonder how you would address that. There's a big fantasy element in there. Of course, it takes place in a realistic world.
Yes.
But the premise is somewhat fantastical.
Yes, I see this as completely about our world. I don't see it as an escape in particular at all. It's, I've sort of magnified what I see as a capability... the capability of a person who's highly attuned to the natural world. We see her as a young child being very attuned, and that kind of attunement becomes this superpower, if you will. But I think I don't even totally see it as outside the realm of possibility. I don't know. I'm portraying myself in a slightly strange light now. But I mean, I do think that she's attuned in a way that a lot of the Native Americans have been attuned for centuries.
And there are stories of people who could make it rain if there's a drought. So,
absolutely. I've heard those stories.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're all fantasy yet.
Yes.
Well, that's my personal opinion.
Yes.
Now, Kai, you're about to embark on sounds like an extremely rewarding and exhausting reading tour. You also did a tour in a van going to indie bookstores across the Northwest and talking with booksellers.
Yes, I did.
And I should ask, because we just have about a minute left, for our listeners in Portland, and also Eugene, when are you going to be back here?
Oh, that's good. Yes, I'm going to be reading in Eugene on Wednesday after 4:30 at the Knight Browsing Room on the U of O campus.
Okay, this Wednesday.
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm reading in Eugene at J. Michael's Bookstore on November 9th, which is a Friday. And then I'm reading at Powell's on Hawthorne on November 15th.
Okay, and that's at 7:30.
At 7:30, right. Okay. So those three. And yes, in between, I will be going back east.
Traveling,
and,
right.
You know, to Denver and Boulder and then back east again. Makes no sense, but yes.
Well, Kai, thanks very much again for coming into KABU this evening.
Thank you. Lovely questions.
We've been talking with Kai Emmons, author of the new novel Weather Woman from Redhead Press. You can meet Kai here in Portland, as we mentioned, and get a signed copy of Weather Woman at Powell's on Hawthorne. That's Thursday, November 15th at 7:30. And you can find out more about Kai and her work at Kai Emmons Author, CAIEMMONS author.com. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.